you have a Bible this morning, would you turn to Psalm 145? Psalm 145. I want to read verse 8 and verse 9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Let's pray and ask God to help us this morning. Father, we do thank You this morning for that sweet manna that comes down from heaven, which is Your holy word. And we ask this morning that You would once again make Your word sweet to our souls. And as we leave this place today, that we will love You more and more and understand more of Your patience toward us and how You tolerate so much out of us, yet and still You love us. We ask it all in Jesus' glorious name. Amen.
Amen.
In Psalm 145, verse 8, the psalmist says, "The Lord is gracious, He's full of compassion, that the Lord is slow to anger." When he says He's slow to anger, he's talking about the patience of God. He says the Lord is slow to anger and He's great in mercy. Every day that this world continues to exist, it deserves to be totally destroyed. This world every day deserves the full measure of the cup of God's wrath. And the fact that it is still in existence and that this world has existed for thousands and thousands of years tells us a lot about the nature and the character of God. And our text today states that God is slow to anger. He's great in mercy, speaking of the patience of God. It is absolutely amazing how that God can tolerate all He does for such a long time. If God allows you and I to sit up under another Thanksgiving meal, when you pray this Thanksgiving, don't forget to thank God for His patience.
Amen.
Don't forget to thank Him for how much He's put up with from out of us as well as the world. And every one of us have been guilty of abusing the patience of God. The world is guilty of abusing the patience of God. Do you realize that God's patience gets grossly abused every second of every day? And just think of the continual law breaking, the continual blasphemy of God, the continual sin that goes on every day, all down through history, nonstop, and God still tolerates all of it. That's why the psalmist, when he says that God is slow to anger, he shows us that God is a very, very patient God. Then Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, before the Lord had to destroy the world with a flood, this is what he says. He says that he saw man's wickedness, that man's wickedness was great in the earth. And because of that, he said every intent of the thoughts of the heart were only evil continually. That's what God looks at every day. We look at all the outward things in the world that are real bad and we say, oh, how horrible a world we look at. Have you ever thought about God sees the thoughts and the motivations and the intents of the heart? And when you think about those things, you can see how patient God really is. Just think of all the evil, ungodly thoughts that run through men and women's minds continually, day after day after day. Romans chapter 3 says this, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And I want you to turn to Romans chapter 3 because I want to show you what God looks at every day. This is what God looks at. We serve a very patient God. And if I had to title this message, I would title it God's Patience Abused. God's Patience Abused. Romans chapter 3, we start at verse 10. The Apostle Paul, he's talking about the condition of mankind after Adam fell into sin, and he, and this is what God tolerates every day. He said, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside and have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one." And then he says, "Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways." He said, "And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." This is what a holy, righteous God faces each and every day in the days of history. Now, the question is not, how could God let this or that happen? You know, people always ask the question, how could God let such bloody wars take place? Or people will say, you know, how could God even allow the Holocaust? Or, you know, how could a God of love allow babies to die? Or this, that, or the other tragedy? The question that we should be asking in light of how much God's patience is abused is, why didn't he just wipe it all out? Because he's such a righteous, holy God. Why didn't he just wipe it all out? Because really, the whole world deserves to be totally wiped out. Psalm 130, verse 3, he says, if the Lord would mark iniquities, who would stand? And so how does he tolerate all that he does for such a long time without breaking forth in wrath and just destroying it all? Thank God he's not like us. Remember the last time you was in traffic and you became impatient? If you'd had a gun, somebody had been dead. Not really, but I mean, that's what it leads to. But God is a patient God. And that's just one little bitty thing in our life that we deal with. Can you imagine the continual evil and the continual evil thoughts and your ways and my ways and the ways of the world that God deals with each and every day? That's why when the psalmist says that God is slow to anger, take him seriously, because God is a very, 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 very patient God. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, it said, when Jesus walked this earth, he endured great hostilities from sinners against himself as he walked this earth. Jesus tolerated and proved to us that God was a patient God. They was questioning him, and you know, you read through the Gospels and you see how they treated him, but he proved that God was a patient God. So how can an infinitely holy God put up with so much of generation after generation of rebellious sinners? His power to restrain himself from breaking forth in wrath against sinners is absolutely amazing. I mean, it's amazing in this fact that sinners continually provoke him and despise him and tempt him to just completely wipe them out. They continually despise the goodness and the forbearance of God. Look with me at Romans chapter 2. The Apostle Paul deals with this. You're in Romans chapter 3. Look at Romans chapter 2. In this passage of Scripture, what Paul is doing is he's addressing these unrepentant Jews who were practicing the same sins that the Gentiles did, and they thought maybe that because they were Jews that they wouldn't be judged because they were doing the same things that they were charging the Gentiles with doing. And then we'll pick it up here in verse 1. The apostle says, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. And this is why he said, for you who judge, practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And he says this, and do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? He said, you do the same things that you're accusing them of. And do you think that just because they are not Jews and that you're a Jew, that you do the same things, that you're going to escape the judgment of God? And then he says here, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Now, he tells them three things about God that is being manifest in their life. He told them, he said, number one, he said, God is good to you. And when he says God is good to them, he's telling them that in the midst of your sin and rebellion, God is feeding, clothing, and sheltering you. God is good to you. Number two, he's telling them that God puts up with a lot out of you. He talks about forbearance. He says God is putting up with a lot out of you. And what he's saying here is this, is that God lets you sin, and let you enjoy your sin without destroying you. And the third thing he tells me is God suffers long with you. God is patient with you. God is restraining himself from breaking forth in wrath against you. And then he is confronting them with the fact that the goodness of God is being manifest in their life for one reason. God is good to you for one reason, and that's to lead you to repentance. Don't misinterpret God's goodness to you if you sit here this morning as a sinner. Don't be deceived this morning, because God's goodness to you is not a sign that God is pleased with you. Because a lot of people misinterpret that. God is being patient with you because of what the scripture said, is that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And most sinners misinterpret the goodness of God to them, thinking that God is pleased with them just simply because God continues to feed and clothe and shelter them, and they continue to get by with their sin. That's not a sign that God is pleased with you. the Apostle Paul tells him here that the goodness of God should lead you to repentance. Now look with me, 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter warns the scoffers who are deceived that are requesting the return of Christ. That he's telling them that there's a reason why that he hasn't returned yet. They're questioning because it's taken so long for Christ to return. It's taken so long for the world to end. 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll pick it up in verse 3. Peter says, knowing this, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. And they will be saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And that's what they're saying. They're scoffing. They're saying, they've been saying this over and over again. The world's going to end. The return of Christ. When is all this going to happen? It's taking so long. And what they're doing as they're asking these questions, they are misinterpreting the patience of God. Peter says in verse 8, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. And what Peter is saying in verse 8 is time is no issue with God. God is not bound by time, but God controls time. And then he says in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God is not slack concerning his promise that the world is going to end and it's going to be burned up by fire. But the reason why it's taking so long is because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he said he's not slack concerning this promise, because what Peter is saying is that it will come to pass. It will happen. And when it comes to pass, it will happen immediately. Why hasn't the world been destroyed? Brethren, it's all because of us. God is exercising patience toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The day of grace requires a lot of patience from a holy God. And then Peter says in verses 14 to 15, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace and blameless and without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. He says, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. Don't be misled by the patience of God like the world is. Psalm 7, verse 11 says, God is angry with the wicked every day. Okay? He's granting time for one reason, and that's repentance. If I had anything to say to prosperous America, God hasn't fully judged America for her sins, because he's a patient God. That's why. God sees the millions of abortions that go on year after year. God sees the homosexuality, the free fornication, the adultery, everything goes on. God sees all the idol worship. God sees all the covetousness that has become a way of life, all the idolatry, all the law breaking, all the defiling of the Sabbath, all the lying, all the cheating and everything else. God sees everything that takes place in this country. But the great abundance of in America is the absolute undeserved mercy of God. And the days of peace and prosperity are manifestations of the marvelous patience of God. God has given her more than enough time to repent. And this country needs to account that the long suffering of God is salvation. Most people misinterpret the patience of God. A lot of time we as believers, because God hasn't dealt with something in our lives, think that he won't deal with it. God will deal with the believer too. And God will chasten us for our sins, and God will bring you to the place where he wants you to be. But don't think that because God hasn't done anything in your life, as we'll talk about later, that God is satisfied with you. And that's what's wrong with this country. The reason why this country is so blind is this is a prosperous country, and everybody thinks that God's favor is on this country. God sees everything that goes on. He's just a patient God, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, let me give you a definition of the patience of God. First, I want to give you a definition of patience for us. If you're a patient person, you're willing to put up with waiting. You're willing to put up with pain or trouble without murmuring or complaining or losing self-control. That's what patience is. You're willing to put up with difficulties, whether it's pain or trouble, without murmuring or complaining or losing self-control. Now, Romans 15:5, God is called the God of patience. God manifests his patience when he deals with sinners. Habakkuk 1, verse 13 says, "Thou art of pure eyes than to behold evil." This prophet says that God not only can behold evil, he cannot look upon wickedness. So when God manifests his patience when he's dealing with sinners, he has to do this to keep from destroying them. God is holy. He hates all sin. He must punish sin. So when we talk about divine patience, what is patience? Patience is the power of control which God exercises over himself, causing him to bear with the wicked and to forbear so long without punishing them. It's the power of control which God exercises over himself that causes him to bear with the wicked and forbear so long without totally punishing them. Without this attribute, God would immediately break forth against every sin that's committed. One man says that God's patience is that excellency which causes him to sustain great injuries without immediately avenging himself. He said that it's that excellency which causes him to sustain great injuries without immediately avenging himself. So God is absolutely holy, and without this attribute of divine patience, every sin would be judged immediately. I want you to give this some thought. If God was not patient, not a single soul would be in heaven. There would be no heaven for us if God wasn't patient. You think about it, none would ever live long enough to repent and believe. But because God is patient, heaven would be occupied with multitudes and multitudes of saints because of the patience of God. So when we talk about God's patience, we're talking about God's power to restrain himself, to keep himself from breaking forth in wrath on sinners who rebel against him day after day, year after year, hour after hour, minute after minute, second after second. Well, how is God's patience manifested? Let's look at four things on how God's patience is manifested. Number one, we see God's patience in his providential works in the world. These are real short, but I'll give you these. When we talk about God's providence, we're talking about God rules, he controls, God governs this world. How do we see his patience? Look at Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. We serve a very patient God. We really don't realize how patient he really is. Acts chapter 14. This is after they tried to make Paul and Barnabas gods. And we'll pick it up in verse 15. This upset Paul and Barnabas, and Paul says, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and all that are in them." And this is what he says about God, "who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways." Now, this is where God proves his patience to the world in his providence. He said, "Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good. He gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, fulfilling our hearts with food and gladness." How's God's patience manifested in his providence? God continues to feed the world. He continues to give fruitful seasons and rain. In Matthew chapter 5, he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He rains on the just and the unjust. The reason why he continues to feed wicked men and women is because he is a patient God. That's why, because he has this attribute of patience. The second way we see that God's patience was manifested is to our first parents, Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. This is what God told Adam. "In the day that you eat of the tree," he said, "you shall surely die." How many of you know Adam and Eve ate of the tree? Man deserves to be wiped out immediately because of his rebellion and his ungratefulness to God. But God did not send that death that man deserved. In fact, he let him live another 930 years. Why? Because God had mercy. God didn't send a thunderbolt and just wipe Adam out. God had mercy. He did not let the earth swallow him up. He let him continue to live for 930 more years. They deserved to die right there on the spot. But because he's a God of mercy and compassion and patience, and he's a God of slow to anger, then he allowed Adam to continue to live. The third thing, in Romans chapter 1, turn to Romans chapter 1, God showed his patience to the Gentiles. When I say the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul says that they were steeped in idolatry and ignorance. Romans chapter 1, verse 29. This is what the Gentiles look like to God. 1 verse 29. He said they were filled with all unrighteousness. He says here, being filled with all unrighteousness. And this is the sins of the Gentiles. Sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. He said they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, and not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So they were steeped in idolatry and ignorance. And the apostle says in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, that God winked at, he overlooked the time of their ignorance. God winked at it as if he didn't see it and didn't deal severely with them as he should. And he wasn't letting it go. He was just simply being patient with them. Another way God manifests his patience, and as you know this very well, if you know anything about the Old Testament, he manifested his patience to Israel. Psalm 95. I know you've read about Israel in the Old Testament. Psalm 95. This is what the psalmist says. We're looking at ways God has manifested his patience down through history, as he continues to do today. Psalm 95, verse 10. And this is what he says about Israel as they was coming through the wilderness. He says, for 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts and they do not know my ways. And he swore that they would not enter into his rest. And then I want you to look at Psalm 78, because this will show you what God was putting up with as they were coming through the wilderness. Psalm 78, verse 36. We read this before in our morning reading, scripture reading. And verse 36. This is the way they were treating God as they came through the wilderness. He says here, nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth. They lied to him with their tongue. Their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. And then here's what he says about God. He says, but he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. And this is why God did it. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. You know why God didn't wipe them out? It's because he remembered how pitiful and puny they were. And he remembers the same with us, brethren, because over and over again, he suffered their rebellion toward him in the wilderness. And God let that nation survive to the death of Christ and till the Roman conquest. And then God was very, very patient with them until finally God's patience came to an end. Why is God so patient with us? It's because he remembers how pitiful and puny we are. He remembers that we're but flesh. He remembers how weak we are. Anybody murmured against God the last year or so? More than once? Israel did it 10 times and it was done with them. Sometimes we murmur more than once every 2 hours. But God is patient, because he remembers that we're but flesh and how pitiful and puny we can be. I mean, we don't understand how great God is in his patience. Well, how do you abuse God's patience? Because when you abuse something, you mistreat it. You make bad use of it. How do you abuse it? A lot of people abuse his patience by treating it lightly. They treat it with contempt. The first way that you abuse God's patience is by misinterpreting God's patience. When a person misinterprets the patience of God, they live carelessly, thinking that God, because God has not done anything, that God is consenting or agreeing with their sin. A lot of people misinterpret the patience of God because they see, because God has not done anything, they think that God is consenting or agreeing to their sin. Some of you in this room right now, you misinterpret God's silence in your life. Because you've lived in sin for a long time and you think you're getting off the hook. You think you're getting away with it. And what you're doing is you beginning to charge God with being unholy, as if God's patience means that he's consenting to your sins. Let me give you a word of advice this morning. Just because God hasn't zapped you out yet doesn't mean that he approves of your sin. God's silence is not approval, but mercy. And the average person misinterprets the patience of God. And the reason why his patience is misinterpreted is because he hasn't done nothing yet. It's because people continue in rebellion and God deals with people over and over again. And because he hasn't done anything, they say, well, oh, he's just like me. You know, God, he's like most people on the earth. You know, he understands. I can see it and I can do this and the other. God's silence is not approval, but God's silence is mercy in your life. God's silence is patience. Look with me in Psalm 50. This is a good passage of scripture for this. Y'all understand what I'm saying this morning? Don't misinterpret the patience of God. The worst thing that could happen to you, and this is, you want to understand this. The worst thing that can happen to a person is for you to prosper in your sin. Why? Because what it does, it deceives you more and more and more. The worst thing that can happen to a person when they're sinning is when God doesn't do anything or God doesn't say anything. Because what it makes them do, it makes them misinterpret the patience of God. They think that God is like them. You know, they begin to think that God approves of their sin. They begin to think, and most people, the God they serve is an unholy God anyway. They think that God is an unholy God because he hasn't done anything yet. But look at Psalm 50, verse 16. This is what he says. But the Lord says to the wicked, what right have you to declare my statutes or to take my covenant in your mouth, seeing that you hate instruction and you cast my words behind you? When you saw a thief, you consented with him, and you have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother, and you slander your own mother's son. And this is what God says to this wicked person. These things you have done, and I kept silent. This is where the person got deceived. He said, you thought that I was altogether like you. But God warns him. He says, but I will rebuke you and I will set them in order before your eyes. And then he says this in verse 22. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. God said, you thought I was altogether like you. He said, but I will rebuke you. That's a warning to those who forget God and who he is. God's silence, if you're a sinner, God's silence should bring fear to your heart. The issue is not whether or not God is going to deal with you. The fearful thing about the silence of God is, when will he deal with me? And when, the more fearful thing is, how will he do it? Proverbs 29, verse 1 says this. He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. If God's patience runs out, it's a sad thing to say, but it's no telling when or what will happen to you. It's no telling. Many are in hell right now screaming for relief and release because they absolutely abuse the patience of God. They absolutely abused it. I know of two tragic deaths right now of men. I know one of them was under the age of 25. He was a member of a church group. Two men who died suddenly in accidents. You know, the day was over for him. God's day of patience was over for this young man. The church thought he was saved. The young man died drunk in a car accident. And it literally severed his head off. But what I'm saying is that God's patience will not last forever. And what I'm saying to sinners this morning is that you don't need to let the silence of God deceive you. Because he hasn't done nothing to you yet, he just may be whetting his sword, preparing to deal with you. Because that's how serious it is. And when God puts an end to his abused patience, it'll be swift. It'll be swift, and it'll come without remedy. That's why I'm saying a lot of people abuse the patience of God. A lot of people misinterpret the patience of God. Number two, you abuse God's patience by taking encouragement from his patience. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Don't let God's silence deceive you. The day will come when there's a scripture that the Lord talks about the wicked. He says that he sees his days coming. His silence is mercy. His silence is pity, compassion. That's what his silence is. Ecclesiastes 8 verse 11. He says, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And the key is because God is so slow to anger, because God is slow to judge sin, men begin to sin more and more in greater degrees, and they begin to sin more fierce and more boldly than ever before. In fact, when God takes a long time to judge sin, when God takes a long time to come upon the scene, men and women begin to strut in their sins. And God's patience is not given to you to be more and more bold and arrogant in sin. God's patience is given to you to turn you from sin to Christ, to cause you to repent and forsake sin. Just because God hasn't judged it doesn't mean he won't. And that's where people take encouragement from, because it takes God so long to come in to deal with sin. Some people live to be 90 or 100 years old and they never repent. Some people live prosperous years to be 90 and 100 years old and they never repent. Have they escaped God's sword? No. Because just as soon as they die, they begin immediately to taste the full cup of God's wrath on their life. I mean, I don't know. Everybody thinks that just because people live to be old, that God's favor is upon them. That doesn't mean anything. It just means that God was patient with them a longer time than he was with somebody else. And when they leave this earth and they never repented, they taste the full measure of God's wrath. A lot of people take encouragement from God's patience because it takes him so long to come and deal with things. And because of that, men begin to strut in their sins. They begin to be more fierce and more bold in their sins. I've noticed a trend in this nation, because this nation has got away with so many things. This nation thinks that God will not deal with it for its sins. This nation will still get dealt with its sins. People are more bold in the abortions and everything else that goes. Look, God sees all this stuff. And the day is going to come, the country will pay for its sins. We're nothing special in God's eyes. You know, you think the church in this country won't pay for its sins? It's already paying for it. And God will deal with it, you know, for the unfaithfulness and the ignorance and the lack of concern and the blasphemy of God and all the things that goes on in the churches every day. Because God hasn't did anything, people take encouragement from it, and they get worse and worse and worse. God will come, and he will come in vengeance, and God will deal with the problem. Right now, his patience is his long-suffering and mercy and pity upon pitiful creatures. Well, as we begin to close down, let's talk about the danger of abusing God's patience. The danger of abusing it. Genesis 6, verse 3. He says that the Spirit of God strives with man, yet he will not always strive with man. And if you read Luke 19, I don't want to read this morning, but verses 41 to 44. Jerusalem was leveled because she did not know the time of her visitation. God's time of patience, of bearing up with Jerusalem, had run out. Her day was done. And what I want to tell you this morning, brethren, nations have their days. People have their days. Usually the days of nations is longer than the days of people. But the time of patience ends for both. And of course, the time of patience ends for a person the moment their never dying soul leaves their body. Another way that God's word tells us that his patience runs out, as he gives up men and women to the hardness and corruption of their own hearts. This is one of the worst ways to run out of God's patience, because when this happens, you never know it happens. God just lets people go their own way. Psalm 81, verse 8. Turn to that. He may allow men and women to walk in the counsels of their own heart without ever striving with them again. And as I've been saying all morning, God may give you a long life. You may have prosperity flowing in your life. And he may do this in order that you may increase in your sins, so that you be more fit for the wrath of God. Because this is exactly what happened to Israel. And we're saying that this is the worst thing that I believe can happen to a person is when God gives men and women up to the hardness and gives them up to the counsels of their own hearts. Psalm 81, verse 8. He said, "Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you will listen to me, there shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god." He said, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me." They totally rejected the call of God. And this is what God said he did. He said, "So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels." And this is his patience and mercy again. Verse 13, "Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways." You think God wanted to do this? No. His heart cries out, "Oh, that they would listen to him, and oh, that they would walk in his ways." Proverbs 1, 24 to 30. We won't read that this morning. Over and over, God calls and he corrects. And then he says at the end of this passage, when he comes in judgment, nothing or nobody can stop him, because God's patience does have an end. And God's abused patience always ends in wrath. Brethren, we serve a patient God this morning. And I'm going to tell you what the greatest display of his patience was. When his son hung on the cross and he allowed wicked men to crucify him. And God didn't do anything about it and let it go all the way through so that sinners like you and I could be saved and cleansed by his blood. That's the greatest example of patience that I can think of. What a patient God. How patient would you be if somebody took one of your children and just were beating them and just hurting them and things like, how long would it take you to rescue them? And God looked at his only begotten son being beat, spit upon, crucified, finally till he died for our sake. What a patient, merciful God. Well, let me give you some application before we leave this morning. To believers first. Brethren, let's realize this morning that God is dealing with a mess. Y'all better say amen, because it's a mess. But what a comfort it is that God is a God of patience. And I hope you don't sit here this morning in your self-righteousness thinking that God doesn't have to tolerate or bear along with you, because he does. He puts up with a lot out of us, you know, like our constant inconsistencies, our constant murmurings, law-breaking, coldness, deadness. God puts up with a lot out of us. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful." And can you imagine what he tolerates from us as he continues to mold and to form us into the image of Christ? Even when we pray, God sees sin in our thoughts and our hearts, but he patiently and willingly hears us. Scripture calls us to be patient. He tells us to be patient till the coming of the Lord, to be patient in trials and tribulations and sufferings. He tells pastors to be patient, that we've got to be able to endure evil and put up with all ill will and things like that. I tell all you young men now, if you're going to be a pastor, you better buy some patience. You're going to need it. You're going to need it. And we have to look at God. Every time that you're tempted to be impatient with somebody else, look at how patient God is with you. Look at how much God put up with you, with out of you this week, last week, all the days of your life, how long suffering God has been towards you. We're to be patient with each other. Like Pastor Jim's been preaching on love, and Pastor Bob said something about it this morning. 1 Corinthians 13, love suffers long, just like our Heavenly Father's love does. And now just a word to the unconverted today. God has been very good to you and very patient. A patient Christ continues to call you to repentance. And if you're sitting here unconverted today, and some of you have heard the gospel over and over and over, and you continue to hear it over and over again, every day that you reject a call from Christ, you abuse the patience of God. Every day. And as you sit here in your sins, you're abusing his patience, because you're tempting him to break forth in wrath upon you. John 3:36 says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but he says the wrath of God abides upon him." Most of the population of this earth walk around day after day, healthy and prosperous and successful, living in blatant sin with the wrath of God abiding upon them. If you're unsaved today, it's because of God's patience that he's held back his wrath and he continues to deal with you in mercy and compassion. We urge you this day to repent and to come to Christ while God is still patient with you. My question is, will he be patient with you another day or will his patience run out? You say, well, I don't know. No, only God knows. But that's the chance you're taking. And it's, the more you take a chance, you continue to abuse the patience of God. And the last scripture today for all of us, Lamentations chapter 3, we'll be done. Aren't you glad God is slow to anger? Be no population if he wasn't. Aren't you glad God is not like us? Be no population if he was. We'd wipe everything out. But we serve a mighty, mighty, compassionate, patient God. Full, and the scriptures don't just say that God is compassionate. The scriptures say God is full of compassion. Last scripture today, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. He says here, after Israel had been through all that she'd been through, and even after all they've been through, he could say this: it's through the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Brethren, it's because of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because we serve a mighty, patient God. And we all need to pray about in our lives that while it's day and while the gospel opportunities are here, that we don't abuse the patience of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have put up with so much out of each and every one of us in our lives. And even before salvation, Lord, you were very patient to us that we could live long enough that we might be saved. And our heart's desire today is that you would extend your patience to those who know not our Lord Jesus Christ, and that you will give them time to repent. Father, that you will send your Spirit, if you just send your Spirit today and turn their hearts to Christ, how our hearts will rejoice in the fact that you saved another sinner from his sins and set him free by your grace. We pray that we would be like you, that we would be patient in dealing with our trials and tribulations in our lives, that we would be patient as we walk through the jungle of this world, that we would be patient with one another. And we ask you once again this morning that you would forgive us for all the times that we've taken your patience for granted. Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' glorious name. Amen.